this thing. No title again?
I'm Daddy Lonely, the Eledumare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check, check. I was hoping I'd get a nice loud duck call or something to open up this podcast. It is Dixon James number 704, and the date would be Sunday, October 14th, 2018, and I am at Bark Lake, the place where I bring my girls every summer. First time here in the fall. And it's quite nice. It's turned into an absolutely beautiful deal. A beautiful day. A chill. During the night, the temperature dropped, I'm sure, below zero. And, it was cold. Didn't put the heater on until I got up this morning. I had to get up before 8 or in time for the 8 o'clock breakfast serving, although some people came late, but that was the start. And I didn't get back. Didn't leave the campfire till 2:30 this morning. I was down to the last three. It was me and the, I don't know what to call them. Well, David and Laura, I guess, the people who played the native music on flute and drum. The entertainers last night. They were good. It was sad because by that point people were talking. And not a whole lot of people were involved in listening or actively, you know, joining in or applauding. But anyway, I spoke to them after and told them I admired the sound of the drum. And then next thing, I'm sitting with them. And next thing, we're down by the campfire. And I say, you know, this is around the time I really feel like a joint. And this is after everybody's had a few drinks. And the answer was, oh, do you have any? And I said, well, allow me to go back to my road track and roll us a couple. So I did, and this time I gave away the last of my stuff from whatever mix it was, and then I had two unopened containers, maybe just, 5-10 grams each, I guess. Big containers, and but just a few buds in each one, which is plenty. And it was indica. I had written that on the container. So I cautioned. I said, this will just be more of a fairly mild body stone. But it was a very, very pleasant stone. And then we got into some real duty, heavy duty. Sorry, I'm getting my words out of order here. Some heavy conversation, especially about Aboriginal issues and Native people, and I was just so grateful to have an opportunity to talk openly with them. I was saying we just get so few chances like this in life, and so that really made the whole event. I'm here because it's the 70th anniversary of Bark Lake, and. They put on, it's a fundraiser, the silent auction, which they had written minimum bids, and I think nobody was bidding. So they got rid of those, and suddenly things started going. Now, they have these cups, and they're beautiful. They're dark green, they're called short glasses, and they're sort of a dark, is it green, brown? I don't know. But they have animals on them. Wolf and fox and deer and moose and polar bear. And anyway, there was a set of six. And so I saw people once the starting bid was 65, then they scratched it out and said, whatever. And so somebody had $20 and I put down, I guess, 26. Maybe somebody put 26. So I bid a couple of times. And then just with a minute to go, as they're announcing this, okay, 1 minute left, somebody went past me and put 30. And foolishly, in my mind, I thought, oh, I don't know. It wasn't so much I didn't want to pay 30, because I know they cost $13 a piece. It was a steal. But I didn't feel it was polite. The woman was standing right there for me to go in that last minute and write my name and put 32. And I mean, I had the time. It was fair game. Now, she might have just sort of elbowed right past me and put 34 or whatever. But I could have bought them. And kind of out of an awkwardness or just whatever. I don't know what it was, but I just didn't. And of course, well, okay, it's over. And this woman got them. And afterwards, I just kicked myself. Come on, man, that you wanted those. You wanted them when you came up this summer and you saw them. And yeah, this is a fundraiser. Put the money down. Buy the damn things. And I just wish I had been just a little more aggressive, a little more pushy, the way the woman was who jumped on my price right after I had put it down. And I, in that last minute, when I had to just, anyway, I went to the tuck shop and saw Joe, and I said, look, I really, you got any more of those? And I was going to offer to pay 35 or something. And he said, oh, I can't do that. They're $13 a piece. So suddenly they're not. He said, that woman got a steal. So he said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll do six for 60. Well, I could have had them for 32. I'm not going to pay double for the same things. And then, so I walked out, and then I felt, oh, damn it. I really want these. So I went back, saw Joe again, said, look, Joe, how about if you can do six for 60? How about can you do two for 20? Oh, of course you can do that. Pick two out. So I picked a moose and a polar bear. I'll post a picture. And they're really nice. And I'm glad I got those too. So, you know, instead of paying 30 for six, I paid 20 for two. I'm still happy. That's fine. Barclay got a little extra money. Anyway, it's the celebration. There were people from the parent company, Columbia International College. And of course, the owner's son was there, who I've met before, Vince. And so a lot of glad handing going all around. And then the new general manager, I guess, or I don't know what, you know, the top executive who works for the company in Hamilton, but comes up here regularly, gave a presentation, a corporate presentation on all the things they've done in the past, what they're doing now, what they looks like for the future. The thing that alarmed me from the future is the thing that always comes up. We want to build cottages on the, I think he said the western side, I don't know, but a part where they're not using so much, so Bark Lake would stay intact, wouldn't really lose anything. Well, that's not quite true. But they want to build 30 cottages. Now, they should be worth a fortune. The only thing is they've been saying this for 15 years, and nothing has happened yet. A lot of people just say the cost is ridiculous of building a road in and building on stone right on the, you know, it'd be very, very hard to build here. So that's the hope, is it just won't happen. It's certainly not going to happen in the next couple of years. But anyway, it's good to know they're putting a lot of money in. They're really fixing this place up even more. And there's a whole new team in place now. So that was interesting, seeing the corporate side of, you know, the people who actually own this facility and what their plans are. Fred Izumi was there. Wayne Izumi was there, of the Izumi brothers, for their TV fishing show. And it was interesting. I originally sat by myself, and then a couple of people joined me, one from the head of HR for the company, and the other one was the health and safety inspector. So sat with them, and a couple of bottles of wine on the table to go with a fabulous roast beef dinner. I mean, it was amazing. They really laid on, and they had the place looking fantastic. You've never seen it like this, because they do. It's a conference center as well, so they're actually set up for weddings and special engagements and things, which is quite wonderful. So that, yeah, it was neat to see it, you know, how they can really doll this place up. I mean, it looked fabulous. Everything in black tablecloths, black over the old chairs, and a real, really nice dinner. And then a cash bar. It was neat. All the beer was chilling in a canoe. They had a canoe. That's their thing. Fill a canoe with ice and beer. It was good. So, and a local, was it Boschcombe Brewery? I can't remember, but a local brewery I've visited before. So, all in all, a good night, but especially the evening turned around when it got down to those who still want to party, and there are a couple of staff Oops. Sorry. A couple of staff hung in there with somebody who's been here 5 years, and yesterday was his last day, and can't remember his name, but I certainly know him from Kamajo. He's helped out all girls a lot over the years, and he's heading off to Europe. So good conversations in depth, and then again I joined the couple over breakfast this morning for coffee, and told them my ghost stories and talked about belief systems and Christianity and a lot of things, and it was very, very interesting. She is of dual parentage, or mixed, I'm not sure what the term is, but I guess a native mother and Irish heritage. So a good talk about that too. But anyway, deep and personal, and that's the thing that makes things worthwhile. And I was delighted to hear them give me their contact information and said, "You're an interesting guy," and I felt I'd earned it. Number one, because I made sure the conversation was interesting, and that if those who wanted to get high, which was just me and the young lady. Then at the end of the night, another camp, very attractive 25-year-old, came out of nowhere, and I guess must have been very drunk because could not remember anything that was said to her, and ended up, sitting beside me and having a conversation that in the moment was very intense, but I doubt that she'd remember a single word of it this morning. Maybe suffering a little bit, I don't know. Anyway, she disappeared off with the bearded fellow, and that was that. And it was down to the final three, and in the end, we just put a bucket of water on the fire, and that was it. And then when I walked past the fire this morning, there was another camp staffer here just starting it up again. Nice to have a fire going. So it's morning, I think I said 10:30, somewhere around there. And I'm just going to hang out for a bit here. Not in any rush to get off. I certainly didn't get much sleep last night. I'm going to need a nap. But I parked. What was beautiful? I was struggling with where I was going to park. And yeah, I could park in front of the office that's sort of on the main road in and out. And then the event organizer said, you could park down below. And that's where I am now, behind the office, right on the swamp, the area where the beavers have it dammed up and so on. So it's a beautiful spot. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. Some light clouds around. The leaves have fallen. And it's absolutely a beautiful day. So I'm just going to wander around a little bit more. But I wanted to share with you this event and what happened. And it's something, it's a different Barker Lake experience. And of course, everybody here, a lot of people here know me, and they were talking this morning about how staff will fight to get to work with the Kamajo girls, that it's a badge of honor. It's the prestigious if you can be assigned to my group of girls, and that's a great feeling. And again, it makes me very reluctant to give up, but there's a part of me, and I'm struggling with this. There's a part of me says, "No, make this your last year. You're done, man. You've had enough." And another fainter part, much fainter. So you really want to throw it all away because you can't just sort of quit and then start up again. And it is, it's a livelihood and it's something you enjoy. Why would you stop this? So that's what I'm going to have to work out. And that's what happens on these podcasts, whether you know it or not. I certainly know it, that decisions get made over time. And you saw that last year when I ended up in Newfoundland instead of Vancouver Island. And Bark Lake was the critical point. That's where the decision was made, sitting in the lake here. I was telling them that last night. And who knows what 2020 will bring. 2019 is already booked and written up, and I just have to come up with a cost. But the year after, wow. And if I am going to quit, I have to give them plenty of advance notice. So that's that decision is going to have to be made sooner rather than later. Anyway, it's not yours to make. It's yours to tune in. Thank you. Those of you who do tune in. Milan in particular, who actually not only listens, but posts comments on the blog. Thank you. Much appreciated. Milan is somebody I met in Japan many, many, many moons ago. And we sort of reconnected here in Toronto. Don't see each other, except for maybe PodCamp events and my birthday party and the odd time here and there. But he does listen and he does comment. Thank you. Yeah. I think I'll shut this baby down and take a little walk and find a nice place to... I don't know. Maybe I've done Barclay. Maybe it's time to get on the road. I think it is pretty soon. Yes. Don't do anything until you've had a dump. There you go. There's my advice to you as well. If you're thinking of doing something, go have a dump first. Especially if you think you might need to later. Okay? There's my advice. Scarborough Dude, giving you too much information, as always. Signing off from the beautiful, the glorious, the fine, the wonderful, the rare, the special, the unique place we call Bark Lake. It's the gentle applause of the leaves and the trees. Oh, just watching them fall to the ground. That one little breeze and bam, down they fall. So beautiful. Having the earbuds in my ear seems to amplify the sound. Tom, I'm eating raisins and nuts. Three kinds of nuts. Peanuts, almonds, and cashews. Anyway, I am sitting, pulled my chair out of the car, on a rocky shore, full of fossils, apparently. Saw them in the office, of Narawasaga Inlet, which is part of Georgian Bay. I think that's right. And I'm looking through some trees straight out. I was lucky enough today to pull in here. This is Craigleith Provincial Park. It's not far from the Wasaga Beach. I guess between Wasaga Beach and... what the hell was that? Oh, it was just a leaf that fell. Between Wasaga and the other one. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a nice part of the country. I was just determined to come here. I haven't been. It's not on my list. I haven't been here before. It's kind of one of those very narrow ones along the highway. It's close to Collingwood. And I do not like Collingwood. Collingwood is a place where a lot of people from maybe Toronto left or moved up or bought cottages in the area. I don't know. But it smacks of being a little wealthy. A lot of... it's trying to be upscale, I guess, from Wasaga Beach. I don't know. But I just don't like the vibe. I've been there with my wife. We went for lunch once, and just it was no big deal. A lot of, the usual highway franchises and so on, and other places that try to be special, but I just don't like it. I don't like Hollywood, okay? People, I guess, in Toronto love it because you can go skiing in this area, and of course, there's the beach, the water. Anyway, check it off the list. I'm here. But now that I'm sitting down with my No Boats on Sunday cider, I'm reflecting back. I think, why am I here? It was a plan that was, even before I left Toronto, it was in the works. Yeah, probably I'm going to go there the day after Bark Lake. But the question is, why did I leave Bark Lake? Let me just finish this nut. Tasty. Why did I leave Bark Lake? It was a perfect day. It was sunny. They built another campfire right where we put the one out last night at 2:30 in the morning. But this morning they had built another one up, one of the women's staff. And when I went back down around 11:30, they had a big container, a steel pot, of hot cider the chef had made, or the cooks, whatever. And it was very tasty. And it was just for people hanging out, because today is kind of an open house day for people to come in, and they're meeting representatives from other companies who may want to buy time there and so on. So they're trying to put on their best show. People going out in canoes. So two things happened. The couple I met last night, Richard and Laura, I told you about them, the Aboriginal couple. We're doing a drum workshop. People signed up for that. They paid money, and they were going to do it. And then when we had breakfast with them this morning, he said, "Look, I got an extra drum kit. I got a spare one. Why don't you join us?" And I declined. And here's a chance from somebody I really liked to sit in. I could have been there in one of the workshop rooms making a drum and learning how from somebody who's clearly, he does this for a living, amongst other things. And I declined. And the main reason, I didn't want to be with other people. I was enjoying my independence so much. And I find that when I go to Mossport or the Jocasa or other places, I really want to pick and choose who and when I'm spending time with people, who I'll be with and who not to. And it's like last night when I went to the event, there were tables I could have just walked up and said, "Mind if I join you?" But I looked at the people and thought, "No, don't want to join them. No, don't want to join them either." So I sat by myself, and then some people came by and just sat down, and that was fine. And I preferred it that way. It was sort of the decision was out of my hands. But this idea of, I didn't know who had signed up for, but I just had the feeling I didn't want to be with that particular group of people. So I declined, and then went to the beach and had my nice hot cider. And another fellow came up who I met during the summer, and he talked to me a lot last night, interested in what I was doing. Said, look, we're going up the Voyageur canoe. We've got a few extra places. Do you want to join us? And I declined again. And the general manager, who is running the place now, she was going to be at the helm on these great big Voyageur canoes, and said, come on, Ken, you can join us if you like. And, no, I've got to get going. And I was just so determined. Number one, I wanted to get out. The drive was beautiful. All I really wanted to see was these rural roads, and it was an interesting route. The trees in full color with the sun shining on them when it wasn't clouded. It was gorgeous, and I enjoyed the freedom that, hey, no, I'm off, I'm on my own. I put it in Credence. By the way, I drove up yesterday with Credence, and I put it in again this morning, and it's a much better album than I thought it was. I'm glad I got it. It was well worth the $6, and it's some great tunes there, so I take back what I said. And so now I'm sitting here alone in a beach, in spitting distance of Georgian Bay, but I'm wondering would I have been better to have stayed at Bark Lake and been open to the opportunities. Hey, learn how to make a native drum. Hey, go out in the Voyageur canoe in the middle of the lake. But in both cases, the decision was made mainly because I guess I just didn't, I wasn't afraid, I wasn't nervous, I wasn't uncomfortable, I wasn't shy. I just had the feeling there's going to be people there I don't particularly want to be sitting with. Isn't that odd? And here I am sitting alone talking to you. Is there something wrong with this picture? I don't think so. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now and get back to just listening to the waves. It's quite wonderful, and yeah, we'll talk to you later on. I bought some firewood. I used my disability pass to get it for half. It's a ridiculous price, even with a disability, which is a 50% discount. It was still $25 and $7.50 for the wood for one night camping by a highway. I don't know. That's why more and more are talking about the boondocking. Hey, you don't go to the campgrounds. You just find a spot where you can pull over and run your generator if you have to. Because these campsites, the guy told me today, you're really lucky to get one of these. They're just very hard to get. These people just book them as soon as they're open, online. It's like registering in a city for getting your kids into soccer or something. You got to be on the first person on. All right. Scarborough Dude, signing off from Craigleith Provincial Park. One more off the list. Bye for now. Sitting in front of the fire, so you can probably hear highway noises and the lake in the background, but predominantly highway noises. I will never camp here again. This is like Silver Lake on Highway 7. They just, they're highway stops, and it's not much of a park. You're on Georgian Bay, that's why I came. It's off the list, but it will probably never get back on the list. Why would I? Sauble Falls is down the road. It's an hour away, an hour and a half. I went camping with my wife and my sons in our canoe. My God, when we had a, what do you call those things, a minivan. That just seems so long ago. So long ago. And anyway, haven't been back there since. I was tempted to go tomorrow, but it's sort of another further out of my direction on the way home, and then I'd have to decide, do I really want another night? So I'm kind of caught now. I'm still thinking about Bark Lake. Like, what would it have been if I had stayed over? I'd be quite comfortable there. I could have had a fine day. I don't know why I didn't abandon this Craig Leith plan and just shift gears like I sometimes do and stay at Bark Lake. But anyway, I didn't. I'm here, and that's that. I struggled to get a fire going. You know, $7.50 for the wood, and then there's a sign outside saying we've had heavy rain, so the wood might be wet. It was very wet, and there were very big blocks of wood, very hard to cut. I was able to get a couple of pieces chopped into kindling, and then I just overdid it with newspapers and cardboard boxes and everything. Just, and it was, I was drowning with fire, drowning in the sense of not enough air. I really struggled. These big logs just wouldn't light. So anyway, I'm down. I just tossed on the last log. And we're not getting big flames, but they are burning. There is warmth. And that's the main reason I lit it around 6 o'clock. I just wanted the warmth of the fire. It's a real chill in the air. It'll be cold again tonight. But anyway, I thought I'd share a few moments with you as I sit in front of the fire. I made... forced myself to eat supper. I could have skipped that, which is not a good habit, but had a very tough steak, better made for stewing beef, but it's tasty. You put the spices on, you fry it up in some butter, and I enjoyed it. I just love that chewy texture of a tough steak. Ugh, I'm a horrible meat eater. And then I had some leftover chili con carne, which I made Monday, and so fry a little of that up to go with the steak, and that was supper. And I used that as an excuse to open a bottle of South African red wine. But I'm also forcing myself to finish off the pumpkin spice beer. It's overly pumpkiny, overly spicy. I don't know why. You know, I got sucked in. Bought it. God, somebody is just showing up in a big fucking motorhome in the dark. God, that's got to be tough. Jesus Christ, no. And he's pulling in a bright Mike store neighbor. Holy fuck. Anyway, I'm just going to sign off now. I just wanted to... oh, no, it was a guy who was here before. It's like a pickup truck with a big, you know, huge cab over the roof and so on. It's big. But anyway, I thought I'd catch up. I'm still struggling with the day of my... How do you think clearly on these things? Why didn't I go to the drum session? Probably because everybody else paid for it. He probably would have given it to me free. At next trip, I would have felt obliged to pay for the drum lessons. I didn't really want to. I did say I didn't want to be around people. I had my fill last night, and that's possibly true. The other thing is I was just restless. I just wanted to... There's that sense of freedom of getting on the road, especially I took these back roads. They're beautiful, 503 roads I've never been on. And, you know, music cranked up. That's really what I would... I guess that was the tipping factor. I just wanted to get in and drive on my own, in control. And in the canoe, yeah, that's right, in the Voyager canoe, I would have had no control in terms of when we left, how long we're going to be out there, when we're going to come back, who else was getting in the canoe. And I guess maybe, that's starting to make sense. I like to have control over my life and what I do and when I do it. And I don't like to surrender that control to anybody. Okay. You with me on that? Yeah? Sure. Scarborough Dude, signing off from this brief interlude from around the campfire. I'm going to poke it around a bit and see if I can get up a few more flames. Bye for now. Coffee going, and of course I'm still at Great Leaf Provincial Park, a park I'll never return to. I've got, as far as the spots go, I've got a beauty. It's surrounded by trees. I'm gazing out, just 20 steps away out the lake, the bay, the waters washing in. This is all shale along the shoreline, and a lot of fossils in the office. Pretty neat. They're just stacked there on a windowsill. But, the little things that my good Japanese friend Eiji came looking for, and I dropped him off, and he spent the day with a little hammer collecting these trilobites and things that get fossilized in shale. Anyway, I'm also reading... I had a wonderful night sleeping. It was not nearly as cold as it was at Bark Lake, where it was below freezing. Very cozy here. And, of course, again, that beauty of a little propane heater that I can set on in the morning just to, warm up the floor a little bit, take the chill off. That's quite nice. So I'm all right. I'm going to head home today. I'm not going to go another night camping. It's kind of an overcast day. And I've had enough for now. I've had my two nights. I really do not like the idea of spending so much money. I can get in with my, because of my handicap and that pass that I have, which basically, here's my justification. It rules out hiking trails for me to a large degree. And a lot of the activities in the park I wouldn't be able to do. But anyway, I'm using it, and it's a half price, but still, it's expensive. But anyway, last night I mentioned I had trouble getting a fire going, and I got a dandy, and I made a deal. I kept thinking, I'll just go in now. At one point, I wanted to go in early, and I thought, I'm going to put on a DVD. I've got one space show I've never watched. And then I kept thinking, no, you've built this fire. You have to stay till the fire's done. And it took so long. We needed a big log. So I am pleased. I didn't give up. I built it poorly to start with. You've got huge wet logs, and they're big. So I had to use a fair amount of newspaper and a few cardboard cereal boxes. But got it going, and in the end, it burned down to coals. I posted a picture on Instagram and got a lot of likes. But the deal I made was, no, you can't go in until there are no more flames. That came up later. I was just waiting, and, I didn't want to put it out. But it was kind of neat to watch, the way we used to watch candles flickering in a wine bottle. And the flame would be, or the wick would be stuck to the top of the glass. And sometimes then at the end, when there's no more wax, it would drop into the bottle. And then it would get a burst of oxygen and come to life again at the bottom of the bottle. We're all stoned. We're all going crazy. And, oh, my God, look at that, look at that. Oh, my God. So this wasn't quite like that, although I did have a Jay sitting around the fire. And this is the point I'm trying to get to, the reflective time. But first, did I mention? it's wonderful when you're camping also, and you've got this little light over your, just over your head. It's so nice, so cozy inside this road trek. And my friends, the Nova Scotia guy and his kind wife, gave me a book by Dean Job called Empire of Deception. From Chicago to Nova Scotia, the incredible story of a master swindler who seduced a city and captivated a nation. It is a really good read, and it's neat because it's history. This was in the 1920s, and he just made up these schemes about rice farms in Arkansas and then oil fields in Panama, none of which was real. And he, as people invested, they kept getting these huge dividends, you know, 10% a month. So, of course, that sucks in all the others, and he'd refuse to sell, and people would beg him, and finally he'd let them in. And he amassed a fortune. And then when he finally got caught, or they found out, he left his wife destitute. He had a few women on the side. He was a womanizer. Interesting character. But a wonderful story, but just, it's rich with history of the people, the characters, the times, what's happening in the background, what, you know, so many layers. And you're going back to the 1920s. Wow, that's a ways back. And then when he finally gets to Nova Scotia, he's talking about Caledonia and places that I've visited many times, and it's a fascinating tale. So really good, rich little piece of history. A rollicking tale that is one part The Sting, one part The Great Gatsby, and one part The Devil in the White City. No, it's not bad. Intoxicating and impressively researched. Jobs' immorality tale provides a sobering post-Madoff reminder that those who think everything is theirs for the taking are destined to be taken. I don't know about that, but yeah, post-Madoff. Anyway, very, very good a read. So, staring into the flames, I thought about the two Native people. I don't know what else to call them. Well, I guess by their names would be good. but I've forgotten his already. Is it Richard, I think, maybe? And Laura? I'm not sure. But thinking, I need to talk to these people more. Because I guess there are parts of my life that I'm trying to explore. And a couple of areas. One, as you know, is my I don't want to say hatred, because I don't think I have too much hatred in me. But anger, frustration with the religion of Islam that is in need of reformation or abandonment by its adherents. And so another voice pipes up, says, well, what you have to do is you have to meet somebody of that faith, make an attempt at a friendship with that person, and talk more and get a better understanding of the religion and how it serves so many people so well. And, you know, get rid of that dark feeling you have, or that anger, that maybe misinformation and so on, and deal with it sometime. And I'm not there yet, but part of me knows if I'm going to progress further in my development as a good human being, damn it, it's starting to rain, I've got to deal with this. I've got to face up to that and do that. And the second one is that I have so little understanding of what it's, of the Native issue. I don't know what else to call it. The Native issue? I don't know. No, what it is to be Native in Canada. I guess I'm more interested in where we can go into the future. Yes, we have to acknowledge the past, and yes, we have to deal with the wrongs and so on, things like the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, but other people have done that, and I want to know, well, all right, what's moving forward? And I can't think of better people than these two to become better informed. But there's a part of me, as I sat by that fire, a little bit high, staring into the flames, thinking, but I don't want to get into the heavies. Now, I'm not feeling that way today. It's just all I'm doing is I'm confessing or owning up to a little insight I had last night, that part of me likes the protected world, maybe likes this white privileged world I live in, and doesn't want to go into explore the dark places much more, and doesn't want to become overly political or overly burdened with guilt and shame. I certainly don't want that. Maybe I don't want the weight of knowing there are more things I should be doing to be a better person, a more just human, a more responsible human. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm afraid of taking on a new load when it would seem, and perhaps it may seem very superficial to those of you listening, I've been so high, feeling so high for a very long time now. I'm on this stretch when I say at the end of each day I'm feeling so blessed and so grateful. And it's a wonderful feeling. And maybe that's it. Maybe I don't want to lose that. Maybe I think or fear that this blessed feeling I have every day of, my God, my life is just so good, everything is just so wonderful, that I don't want to give that up. I want to stay on that. And you know, I don't know if this is coming out clearly. It doesn't, as I'm expressing it now, it doesn't feel clear. I'm happy to be happy. I'm grateful to be grateful. I feel blessed. And I think that's a way I want to be. I think that's what I've been striving for. Like, life is good and you're going forward and you're still taking on challenges and doing things and learning things, and just coming out and exploring in the road track is opening up a whole new world for me. And, you know, maybe this just going to Bark Lake, I wouldn't have gone without the road track. I wouldn't have wanted to pay for accommodation. I wouldn't have gone alone. Other people are paying in groups and staying together. The fact that I had the independence of, no, I'm just going to sleep on my road track park behind the office, that allowed me, opened up the experience to meet these people and stay around the campfire with them and talk all evening and into the next day. So, well, I don't know what I'm saying here now. This is part of the journey I'm on. I am still on a journey. I'm still enjoying that journey, and I'm grateful for that journey. And I told that to my new Native Aboriginal friends. But okay, here's the nutshell. I have so much further to go down that road. I have so much more to learn. I have so much more to reconcile. Like the next morning, I wanted to say, just, you know, he walked into the he came into the room late, and I don't know if he was hungover or what. He was drinking his homemade wine. I wanted to say, "Morning, Chief." No, I don't know him well enough to make that joke. And the joke isn't, it's just that I would say that to anybody. I would say it to my friends. It's an expression I use a lot. In his case, of course, obviously. I would hope that he just would have laughed, but I felt, no, don't say that, Ken, because you don't know him yet, and you don't know how he's going to enter. He doesn't know you yet. There's the question. He doesn't know you. So he doesn't know how you mean that. Was that sarcasm? Was that an insult? Was that a stupid joke? What was that? Morning, Chief. So I didn't say it. But I would like to have been able to. And I would like to go further in that friendship. I guess that's what I'm saying. All right, is this part of the journey then? Here's an opening. Here's an opportunity. He didn't take his drum workshop, but you can contact him sometime in Ottawa and try and see where else this can lead you, and if nothing else, being better informed. The conversations ran deep. I started off telling him about the horror of a grade 5 kid seeing that sketch of Brebeuf and Lallemand tied to the stakes and being tortured by the... Now, I said the Iroquois, and he corrected me. It was not the Algonquin. I don't know. But anyway, then he went on to say, okay, now here's our explanation. The Iroquois, and he said that, have a tradition of three strikes and you're out. And they'll forgive you the first time, and they'll forgive you the second time, and the third time, that's it, it's war. That was according to him, but his knowledge of Native history and understanding and philosophy or whatever. And he had said that the Brebeuf had actually... had a place for women with maybe pretending that they were looking after the native women, but in fact it was a brothel he was running. So, wow, that's sure a different version of history than the one I know. And this was for the fur traders and the soldiers and so on. They're actually keeping the women to use, you know, almost like the Korean sex slaves that the Japanese kept and don't like to own up to. And, whoa, that sure puts a different spin on it. And they ran him out, and he came back. And when he came back, that was when they decided to kill him. And I said, you know what? That's interesting to hear that perspective. Well, I never thought of that way at all. So there's a lot more to learn, whether or not I agree with everything. And you have to question my history and question his history. They're both going to be biased to some degree. But the issue I was trying to get at, no, it wasn't the killing of him. No problem with killing the, you know, foreign invader priest. It was the slow torture that bothers me. And I went on to say, it's just not just that. It's the images of a South American prison, which I keep going back to, or anywhere else where somebody's in Mexico, where people are tortured before they're killed. It just horrifies me, and it's something I can't shake. And it was the image of torture, not just, and it just happened to be that this was, I was exposed to it in grade 5 in a history book, which does haunt me and has shaped me, I think. And so he was understanding of that, but it was an interesting exchange. And all right, anyway, it's starting to rain. I think I've said my piece, maybe not. I have no idea where I went there. It's up. Some people will be interested, some of you listeners, and we'll try and figure out where Ken's coming from and what's this trip all about. And others will just think, and not incorrectly so, he's just babbling on and he's trying to sort things out. Yeah, I had to close the door without spilling the coffee. I got a movie in the rain. So, all right, I got to end it there now, and I'll get back in a little while. Scarborough Dude! Hang on, I got a treat for you. Oh, by the way, Mark Blevis released a new podcast regarding this thing on creativity. It ends like this. Check, check, check. Thank you. Scarborough Dude, Ken here, lying on the bench, sofa, in the back of the road trek on a sunny day. It's 4 o'clock. In exactly 8 hours, it will be legal to consume marijuana anywhere in Canada. The news is just, I mean, that's all they're covering. Like, it's, and, you know, informing people and getting doctors on and, you know, should you smoke if you're pregnant? And, oh, so much information and maybe some misinformation. But, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'm not in the least bit excited. I mean, I've smoked as much as I wanted, as often I've wanted, when I've wanted, pretty well almost where I've wanted. So, it's not news to me. I do, you know, I mean, there's going to be a few mishaps along the way. You can see, I mean, people, anybody trying to be high and drive is not a good idea. Being high and filling up your car for the gas, anything like that, just, you know, don't do it. Don't drive high. As good as you may think you are. They did do some test studies and found people's reflexes were slower, and I believe that. That's not just hype from the police. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I want to finish this podcast. I've got 7 minutes left. And today's one of those days when I'm not accomplishing enough and feeling shitty about it. It's a beautiful fall day. I could be raking leaves. I could have filled my bike tires up with air and gone for a bike ride. I did take my son out for some practice driving, and that was important. He requested that, so, I mean, that counts. Finishing off his podcast today, well, I mean, well, I did something. There are financial matters I have to deal with. The money is flowing out at an incredible rate, and it's just not coming in. I mean, it's nuts. You know, this can't go on.
So I've got to phone Rogers, I've got to deal with him, and I just dread the bullshit I have to go through to fight with him to see what kind of a deal I can get. And especially if you follow the news lately, they're told that they lose a commission or drop in salary or something. They get penalized for giving customers better deals, basically, for lowering, you know, the bills that people pay monthly. And so very often they don't want to do it. They pass it on to somebody else. This was one of these CBC exposés, but it sounded like it made sense. Of course, they'll be in denial. Oh, those are bad business practices. But basically, they don't want you to pay less. They want you to pay more. That's the name of the business, and it's ridiculous. So I pay, oh, maybe $370 for my TV, our two cell phones, and our internet. And it's too much. It's just too fucking much. My car insurance for the Road Trek, the Yaris, and the Mazda, for my wife and I, is $3,500 a year, a little more than that. So I did call them today, and they said, oh, I said, I'm retired, I'm not driving to work anymore. Oh, well, okay. There's $99 we'll credit you with. So $99 back to me. At least that's something done today, but Jesus. So this is kind of a shitty way to end a podcast. You know, you're enjoying camping. You're getting this deep thought sitting around the campfire, and then you're back in your driveway whining about the cost of living in this privileged world we have. But no, my point is, sometimes it's really hard to get motivated. The Road Trek's a mess. I only now just put up the bed. It needs a thorough vacuuming and cleaning. And you see people, when they post pictures of the Road Treks, they're like in mint condition. People look after them. They wax them. This should have been waxed this fall. I don't know how to fucking wax this thing. It's huge. And it just should be done. It's covered in mud from the last campground where it was kind of wet and muddy. I was going to put that off until tomorrow, and I'll do my Rogers call maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. But shit's got to be done, you know? There's no end to it. There's no easy way out for having all of the wonderful things we have. You got to pay the price, man. I did go to men's group last night, Monday night, at our church, and we made some progress. I won't go into any details. The whole thing is built on trust. But we had some laughter, and we had some pretty open discussions on things we haven't talked about before. So in a way, it was, I think we just up to the level a little bit, to another level of trust. And that was important. It was very important. On Thursday, there's another meeting at the church discussing Greta's future, because that's going to be decided in November. I am really pleased to be on this front of, here's somebody who is not ready to sell the creed, the holy gospel, the traditional Christian message. And she's being held accountable. So we'll find out whether she's going to be actually dismissed from her job, or they'll find some other way of dealing with it. The longer they've waited, the more difficult it has become for them, because the support mounts for Greta. So anyway, stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for all the bloody stories on the first day apart. I can't even bear to look at the news. And then the other thing, Saudi Arabia, now Trump sort of says, oh, well, we talked to the king of Saudi Arabia, and he said, no, we don't know anything about that missing journalist. No, that was done. So now the story, and this is the hypocrisy, this is the oh my God. It could have been rogue agents. Here's the cover. There might have been rogue agents came into the embassy, and it was an interrogation or a kidnapping that went wrong. So, of course, you know, where are the body parts? You know, what actually did you do to him? So this story will drag out for a while, but it's just, he was murdered by a regime that doesn't like criticism. Fuckers. Fuck you, Saudi Arabia. Fuck you. God, that's a horrible way to end a podcast. But I think I'm going to have to because it just annoys me, okay? It doesn't just annoy me. It angers me. So can I end on an angry note? Can I do that? I know it doesn't seem right, you know? Come on, man. Don't do that. Give him a song or something. Don't end on an angry note. But I'm just, that's where I'm at today. I'm frustrated with myself for not having the energy to just to fucking get going and do shit, man. Some days I do, but today isn't one of those days. Today is a day just to fucking lie here and do fuck all. Yeah, no, I'm going to end on that. Come back next week. You'll have a different story, different news, different reports, different views, different feelings, different moods, different thoughts, different ideas, different words.